We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, I'm Maggie Doyle, and you're very welcome to the Your Politics podcast with Sandra Hurley and Micheál Lehane of our political staff. And also joining us in this week's Politician's Chair, Fine Gael TD for Cavan Monaghan and Minister for Employment Affairs, Social Protection, Rural Community Development and the Islands, Heather Humphreys. I've been doing a lot of those introductions with massive long titles in the last few weeks, Heather. You've expanded your title a little bit since the last government. So you've got a lot on your plate, I know. Thanks very much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
The first thing I'll have to ask you about is your home county, your constituency is going into level four restrictions, I should say. I presume you'll be heading back up home tonight or tomorrow. What's it going to be like, do you think, heading back to your constituents? What are they going to be saying to you and how do you feel?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm disappointed that our Cavan and Monaghan are moving to level four, but I absolutely understand why, because the levels of transmission in the two counties and Donegal are much, much higher than the national average. It's well over 330 in all of the three counties, and the national average is about 110. So we have to try and do everything we can to stop this virus, because the virus is the enemy, and we need to redouble our efforts, and we need to keep our distance, work from home, and do all of those things that we've been told to do, reduce our contacts, wash our hands. And I know people are probably sick listening to me saying that, but that's how we beat the virus. And it is disappointing for the businesses, and they have come through a really tough, tough year. I think of retail shops, I think of the shops I go into at home, and I know that they won't be able to open their doors, but a lot of them are actually online now, because when I was in my last department, there was a huge effort made to try and get as many businesses online as possible. And I have to say the local enterprise offices have been brilliant in helping companies get online. So what I'm saying to the people in Cavan and Monaghan today and tomorrow and over the next few weeks is use your local shops, use the click and collect service, and especially when it comes to the toys, please use your local toy shops, because when this is all over, and it will pass, we want our local shops there.
I suppose I must ask you though, is it frustrating, and was it frustrating for you yesterday in the cabinet meeting that it's your constituency and Donegal, because you say, you know, we got through it before, and my colleague Sinead Hussey did a piece for the News at One this lunchtime. She spoke to a beautician in Carrickmacross, you know, who was closed for nearly 4 months, and now she's going into the unknown again. Now, she can't do click and collect. She's a beautician, so she's hands-on. I was thinking, you know, her clients could easily go over to Dundalk. Her clients could go to a neighbouring county to get whatever they need done, because the rest of the country is going to be on level three. So is it frustrating that the rest of the country isn't going to be at the same level?
Yeah, well, it is difficult for us in Cavan and Monaghan, and indeed, as I said, Donegal, that we're moving to a higher level. But we have to remember why we're doing it. We're doing it because of the rate the virus is spreading in those counties.
And it's one of those reasons, I wonder, because, again, I heard my colleague this morning, Morning Ireland report from Monaghan Town, saying that, and he was speaking to a publican who said that there were people going across the border to the pubs in buses or whatever, and they're coming back and bringing the virus back with them. Like, is that something that as the local TD that you had heard of, people going over the border? I'm just wondering about we've heard an awful lot about the cohesion and the relationship, the cross-border relationship. It hasn't been there to deal with this health crisis that we're in.
Yeah, well, there is a very good relationship in terms of with the chief medical officers. They're in contact all the time. I know that Minister Donnelly and Minister Coveney have been in touch with First Minister Arlene Foster and Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill, and indeed the Health Minister in Northern Ireland, Robin Swan. And I'm glad to see, and I welcome the increased restrictions in Northern Ireland, because obviously the rate of transmission there is extremely high, and it's very worrying. And at the end of the day, this virus doesn't recognise borders, and we all realise what we have to do. And the clear instructions in Northern Ireland, they're exactly the same instructions to us south of the border.
Except we have pubs are open, of course. So.
Yeah, but what we have to do is we have to make sure that we reduce our contact, and we shouldn't. We have to take. We shouldn't be going into places that we feel there's a chance that you might get the virus. We have to take responsibility for our own actions, because at the end of the day, we can beat this virus.
Let me ask you a direct question. Should Monaghan be playing Kerry on Saturday in the GAA Football Championships?
Well, it's understandable that people have to have some outlet. Now, this is a closed game. This is behind closed doors. There are no spectators. I understand that some people will think they'll have different opinions on it. But all the county matches have been cancelled. This is the inter-club matches at county level have been cancelled. So this is part of the league. And they will be able to watch it on TV, and hopefully people will stay in their homes and they won't be congregating in areas. And that's my advice to them. Stay at home and enjoy the match.
So the match should go ahead as far as you're concerned?
Well, the match, it's planned that it is. It's part of in level four. Mm. It's agreed in that plan.
But it's kind of hard to understand really that the Kerry team will be travelling all the way up to Monaghan to play a football game when Monaghan's now in level four.
I understand that, but as part of the level four restrictions, it was decided when we were drawing up that plan that we would allow inter-county games. But I would say to people, please, take the necessary measures and don't be putting other lives at risk.
Do you think that people will be listening? I mean, you mentioned there the inter-county games, and we've seen a couple of different issues now with COVID-19 spreading because of smaller matches, granted, and community matches and club games and championships and all the rest of it. Are the people who did congregate for those kind of things, are they listening? And will they stay in their own homes to watch Monaghan, Kerry, or whoever it might be playing this weekend?
Well, I hope they are listening because they're putting the lives of their maybe their grandparents or their parents at risk. And that's the bottom line here, that they have to take responsibility for their actions, because unfortunately this virus doesn't impacts on everybody, but it's particularly severe on older people. And people have been congregating in settings in celebratory ways, and obviously there's a few drinks taken and the inhibitions come down, and I can understand people have been locked up for quite a while and it's understandable, but really everybody has to take the necessary measures to make sure that this virus does not spread, because people going to a function at night, they can go into work the next day, they may have picked it up, and then it starts to spread. And I know from speaking to friends in both counties that everybody knows where they probably got it, and it's up to those people to please take the necessary advice and do the right thing by your neighbour, your friend, your parents and your grandparents.
Your party colleague Patrick O'Donovan is calling on off licences to have their hours examined, presumably curtailed in some way, and that the volume of alcohol limited to what's been sold in off licences. Off licences will still be open now in the level four counties. Is that something that you'd support or do you agree with?
Yeah, I do support it, actually. I think it's something that we should look at. I've asked that NEFID would look at it, that we reduce the opening hours of off-licences, and we can consider limiting the amount of alcohol that we sell to any person, because we do know the evidence is there that house parties have led to the spread of this virus. And while I absolutely agree that people should be able to enjoy a social drink, what I don't agree with is crates and slabs of beer being pushed out of shops in trolleys.
We're including supermarkets then, presumably, because supermarkets. What time would they close at 6 p.m. or?
Well, again, that's something that can be considered. Maybe it should be 6, maybe it should be 7. This is not to discourage people from having a social drink at home. I understand that. But I do think that there has been many reports of excessive consumption of alcohol that has led to environments where the virus can spread. And let's face it, COVID loves to party and it loves to drink alcohol.
To go on to something that you're in charge of in your department, the PUP payment, the PUP, more people will presumably now be accessing the PUP because of the level 4 restrictions and businesses closing down. Also, Ryanair, 135 job cuts announced today, thereabouts. So I wanted to ask you just specifically about the Christmas bonus. Because we know that in the budget you were delighted to be able to say that the Christmas bonus will still be there for people, but that the caveat is that it's you don't have to have the full number of months, that if you've been on the PUP for 4 months,
yes,
that you can still get the Christmas bonus. But what about people who might be signing up to the PUP now?
Yeah, well, for those that have been on the pandemic unemployment payment, we have changed it in the budget that if they're on it for 4 out of the last 9 months, that they will get the Christmas bonus. And obviously, we wanted to target those that are longer on the PUP, because obviously they are more financially impacted because they haven't had their job. Normally, you wouldn't get the PUP until you're on, or sorry, you normally wouldn't get the Christmas bonus until you are on a payment such as job seekers for 15 months. So in terms of the year that we're in at the minute, we decided to reduce that to 4 months.
Yeah.
And for those people that have lost their jobs today, at least they can get back onto the PUP, because as you know, the PUP was first introduced last March. Mm. It was first of all for 6 weeks, then it was extended to 12 weeks. And we did reduce
it. But I'm talking
it.
About the people maybe who are just now going to be on the PUP for the first time.
Yes.
Will they get a Christmas bonus?
Well, not unless they have been on it for 4 months.
Okay. Okay. Because Christmas, there's a lot of talk about Christmas now at the moment. Initially, we were starting to talk about Halloween, but we've kind of, I suppose, we're in
and
the zone
actually,
now.
Could I just ask, Alan Kelly was out today saying that, you know, a plan needs to be formulated in terms of saving Christmas, that, you know, the government needs to start thinking about retail, obviously, as you know, the big boom around Christmas time and families congregating. Is there, what's the thinking in government? You know, would there be thinking that it would be worth tightening the restrictions for a while in November in order to be able to open up in December? And how would you weigh up such a decision?
Well, that's exactly why we have NEFID in place, and they will obviously look at these things and they will take that into consideration and they will come forward with recommendations to government, and we're happy to hear their views on it to see, you know, we're not trying to make people's lives miserable and unhappy, and we all want to try and celebrate Christmas insofar as we can in the normal way. But hopefully, it's within our gift if we adhere to the advice that we have been given. And Tony Holohan has made it very clear. We know exactly what we have to do. So it is within our control to manage this virus and to make sure that we can have Christmas.
Well, of course, he wanted us to go to level 5 as a country. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
But the government decided not to do that because it was too much.
Yeah, well, I think to be fair, where we were at level 2 and it was going to be a huge jump to go to level 5. And believe you me, we're moving from level 3 to level 4 in Monaghan and in Cavan and Donegal. And that in itself is going to bring, a lot of problems to a lot of people. But we're doing it for the right reasons.
The issues that low-income families have, and Sandra said that mentioned about Christmas, I'm just wondering about the reductions in the PUP payment. The Thornish today in the Dáil saying, look, we're going to review it again in January, but it's looking like you're suggesting anyway that there's going to be a reduction again in January. I'm just wondering, when you're discussing that, should it not be discussed before Christmas to give people a little bit of security and insurance? Because low-income families, when they're planning for their Christmas spend, they'll often be looking ahead to maybe a quieter January. Would you think that you'll be coming around to making a decision before Christmas?
Yeah, well, in terms of the pandemic unemployment payment, as I said, it started off as a flat rate payment for 6 weeks, extended to 12 weeks, and then further extended out to September. And we had a number of options to look at the time. Do we stop it and everybody goes on to the standard job seekers, or do we continue it? So we decided that we would continue it until the end of March. And I know that is due to be to reduce further at the in February. Mm. But what we have said is, well, we will look at it in January to see what you know, what the state of play is then, because it's hard to say at what level the virus is going to be at. We don't know, you know, things can change. So I think it's fair to say that it's going to continue on, and people have the certainty and they know it'll be there to the end of January at the current rates, and we will review it at that point in January to see what exactly what steps we need to take at that time.
You mentioned toys there and earlier on about buying locally if you can, with you know, when it comes to toy shops. Can you understand how low-income families are feeling if they've got small kids at home and looking ahead to those difficult few weeks?
Yeah, I do understand that. And that's why we have increased the qualified child allowance for low-income families and people on social welfare. The payment has gone up by a further €5 per week for a child over 12, and for children under 12, an extra €2 per week. And there's a number of other measures there in the budget to help those that are most vulnerable. For example, it's another measure is for families that for widows that unfortunately have been bereaved. So there's a widow's grant that's paid out for qualifying recipients of €6,000. That's gone up to €8,000 in the budget, and that's the first time in many, many years that we've been able to help those that that need it at that time. And can I just say that I'm very conscious about the needs of people on low income. I spent 12 years working as a credit union manager before I got involved in politics, and I know the difficulties that people face, and I do understand the challenges coming up to Christmas, and that's why we're here to help, and we're here to help the most needy. And I took on board in this budget the recommendations of the Vincentians, and they said that people who are living alone, particularly old age pensioners, people on disabilities, and single family parents, one parent families, are most vulnerable. And I've tried to help them in the budget. So this, while we didn't, we weren't in a position to give an increase right across the board, it's specifically targeted. And when you think about people, say pensioners living alone, they have the same costs, to heat the house, as when there are two people in the house and there's double that pension's coming in. So I wanted to help them because it hasn't been easy for them this year. Mm. They've had to remain in their house longer, and they haven't been able to get out as much as they might like. So they probably have increased costs. So we're trying to help them there.
Interesting that you said you worked in the credit union for 12 years. That's obviously something that you brought your experience to this position. And I wonder, is this position now, because you're in charge of social protection, so you are in charge of helping people, I suppose, financially, and those who need it most. Have you found, just from your own personal experience being a woman in politics and a woman at the cabinet table, we've heard a lot this year, actually, different articles and different studies that have been done about the abuse that women in politics get, whether it's online or verbally or whatever it might be. Have you found this job any more difficult than previous jobs you've had?
No, I'm enjoying this job, and I do like it. It's just, obviously, I'm just at it since June, so it takes a wee while to get your head around all the different schemes that social protection rolls out, and all the different supports it gives in many, many different
ways.
I'm
just wondering about the difficult decisions that you've had to make and when it came to, say, cutting the pandemic unemployment payment. I know it was a cabinet decision, it was government ultimately, but it's your department. Do you suffer from online abuse, trolling? I know you're on Twitter, you're on social media, you're on Facebook. Do you get any of that?
Well, yes, you probably would get some more correspondence, let's say, than you normally would when I was in the business brief. But having said that, I do understand that people are frustrated at times and they just feel the need to express their concerns, some more vocally than others. But that's understandable, and sometimes these things can be written in haste. And perhaps I actually rang a few people that were upset, and I picked up the phone and I rang them. I explained the situation, and I think that's the right thing to do. If you don't always have time, but there has been a few very sad cases, and as I said, I picked up the phone and they were very surprised that did ring them, and it helped me and it helped them.
Well, that's good. Is it harder, do you think, for a woman to be in politics than it is for a man to be in politics?
No, I don't think so. And I have spent most of my career in banking, in credit union, and banking when I entered it many years ago was very much it was very male dominated, and there were very few opportunities at that time for women to progress in within the bank as a career, because there was different things that it just wasn't as easy for women to progress.
But it didn't stop me. No, it doesn't
because,
seem as though it's as easy, because you could say that it is quite a male dominated politics in Ireland is still quite male dominated, isn't it? You
know, there's
a lot of discussion about the fact that there's only a few women around the cabinet table, for example.
I think what's important to remember is that yes, you can. Yes, you can do the job, and believe in yourself. And I would say that to all women, have confidence in your ability to do this job. I always, believed that I could do it. And I always felt that women deserve the same chance as men. As I said, I entered the bank many years ago, but it never stopped me. And I remember a friend of mine working in a particular office. And she said to me, Heather, why do you keep pushing? Why do you want to, why do you want to do that job? And I said, because I know I can, and so can you.
Very good. So you coined the phrase before Barack Obama, maybe. finally, Minister Humphreys, I notice on the Fine Gael website in your profile, it says you play the piano. I presume that's what you did to let off a bit of steam during the last few months. Would it be Beethoven or Elton John that you're banging the ivory out of? What's the best?
I'm glad you mentioned Beethoven, because I'm particularly partial to Beethoven.
Oh, right,
and 250 years we're celebrating now, and I understand that that Galway or University College Galway are putting on a concert tonight, and I'd love to get the chance to listen to that, because I'm sure it'll be really good. I don't play the piano because I have to close all doors because nobody else appreciates my skills at home, but I do like to do some gardening when I get time out.
Oh, very good.
And I have my vegetable garden with my potatoes and my carrots and my cabbage, and I like to do that.
So you weren't baking bread during the lockdown, you were sowing seeds and planting all sorts of lovely goodies in the garden.
Yes,
good
I was.
Know. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in to join us on the Your Politics podcast. Minister Heather Humphreys, thank you very much indeed. Fine Gael TD for Cavan Monaghan, of course, Minister for Employment Affairs, Social Protection, Rural and Community Development and the Islands. Lovely to have Minister Humphreys with us this afternoon. Now, Sandra, other items that are on the agenda, I suppose. Interesting, yes. Yeah, so you mentioned there the Labour leader, Alan Kelly, was out hoping to save Christmas if he can.
There's a headline. Alan Kelly saves Christmas.
Yes. We've kind of gotten over Halloween, I think, because initially a couple of weeks ago it was like, what are we going to do for Halloween? Mm. But people are of the understanding now that restrictions are going to be in place. And is there a feeling that government and cabinet are going to be coming up with some sort of a plan to try and ease off for Christmas?
You heard the minister there very careful to point to NPHET and that they would be guided by them. I mean, I think it would be kind of irresistible, to politicians. There's so much focus on Christmas, and it's not just the families and the family gatherings. It's the retail. It's an enormous economic boon. And the hospitality sector, it's when loads of businesses make their money that shores them up for the rest of the year. So, there is a certain logic to maybe trying to ensure that businesses and everything else could flourish in December. But The question is, how do you get there? So do you have a so-called circuit breaker or a sort of short lockdown before that? I think in government, they're very reluctant to go there because, I mean, that really is making people unemployed overnight. It's not that simple. There's massive consequences. I thought it was interesting at the weekend, Leo Varadkar wrote an op-ed for the Sunday Independent, and he mentioned the whole thing about the circuit breaker. He said, you know, it might be needed at some stage, but he really wanted to tease out the questions and kind of put some parameters on it. So if you were to have one, and he said in his view, it mightn't necessarily save Christmas, but he really pointed out it might be easy to go into, but how do you get out of it? How do you decide to get into it? What's the goal? Are you trying to reduce the case numbers to a certain point? And I think he wanted to try and start a discussion, a kind of more logical, kind of measured discussion about how you might do this. Because, it's simple to say, let's try and save Christmas. But actually, what would happen if they went into much tighter restrictions, level four, level five for the whole of the country, but they couldn't get out of it and were just stuck in it for a good while to come? So,
it's a big, enormous call.
So the cabinet meeting last night, Micheál, yesterday evening, must have been quite a difficult one for people like Heather Humphrey sitting around the table, who's now got to go back to her constituents and talk about, and as well, Donegal as well, under these kind of really quite strict restrictions for a month. And yet, like Cassandra's saying, well, does the whole country now, is that what the rest of the counties are facing into, maybe in November
quite
time?
Possibly different views in cabinet on that. There are a number of ministers who think that possibly things might able to be held at level three. However, there are others who are clearly of the view that other counties certainly are going to make their way to level four soon enough, maybe not for another few weeks, but that could happen. There are different views on that one. I suppose last night what was interesting on the way into it is that Tony Houlihan had been in government buildings earlier with Dr. Ronan Glenn. They'd spoken to the Oversight Committee. And all through the week, there was that emphasis from the Chief Medical Officer about the need for a population-based approach. So while some in government maybe in the earlier part of the week always thought that something needed to happen with the border counties, taking a drastic enough measure, although it is permitted under level three, that enhanced measure about household visits, that became the nationwide part of yesterday's discussions, and that the more significant one in some ways.
And after that hiccup a couple of weeks ago, relations with NPHET a little bit better now. I mean, Minister Humphrey's there saying we will be guided by NPHET, but as I pointed out, I mean, NPHET did say, well, we should have gone to level five. So,
well, you could see the NPHET influence, I suppose, on the cabinet decision last night. It's going to be a little like that. NPHET are adamant on their view. I suppose that hasn't changed. And why would it change? Because if anything, the data continues to support what they said on Sunday night 2 weeks ago. On the Christmas question, it's interesting that Micheál Martin some weeks back in the chamber spoke about a kind of a desire, in the same way as he mentioned the schools initially for September, getting them back, a desire to have grandparents meet their grandchildren at Christmas. That hasn't been mentioned since actually last night. The language was a lot more guarded.
Yeah.
He spoke about, yes, of course, there will be Christmas, but
you see,
not in the regular sense.
No.
It'll be different Christmas.
And does that come under, and I should have asked Minister Humphreys really her take on the compassionate reasons for not, you know, that they're, you can still visit another home if it's for compassionate reasons. That's a very broad term. A lot of people on social media kind of asking that question. Well, surely grandparents at Christmas would be compassionate, one would think. You know.
One would think. It's a broad enough term. I think the notion of getting things right for Christmas, as Labour are suggesting today, many in government, you sense there's a feeling that just perhaps won't be possible now.
Interesting that Minister Humphreys agreed with her colleague Patrick O'Donovan there on the curtailing of the hours of the off-licences.
It is, and it's something that I think will be resisted by a large swathe of government TDs, but it is interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that have been discussed now? Because she told us that she came out to the parliamentary party meeting there, actually. So will that be something that's being discussed?
It's a view that it was mentioned at the press conference last night as well, and there are discussions going to take place north and south about things like that. So it hasn't been entirely ruled out. Whether it gains enough traction to actually get over the line, I'm not so sure.
Sandra, obviously the budget seems to have now just, you know, disintegrated into the past.
Yeah, it's a dream, an 18 billion euro dream that we seem to have forgotten about.
Did it actually happen?
Yeah.
Because now we're back to dealing with COVID, you know, and the level five restrictions or the level four restrictions coming in. But still an awful lot about the social protection issues there and the pub payments in the budget. And it seems that the opposition parties
took it all pretty well. You know, there wasn't much to kind of complain about, and yeah. There hasn't been. And even in leaders' questions the last couple of days, not a huge amount of criticism, really.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. I was speaking to somebody in government today, and they said they'd never seen a budget dissipate off the headlines so quickly, especially such a giant spending one. We know that this 18 billion, some of it is kind of notional in terms of allocations, but it is the largest allocated in a budget ever. And we're not really talking about it so much, but that's because it wasn't so much about putting money in people's pockets. It was just keeping the show on the road, stopping businesses from closing, hopefully helping them to survive. In terms of the opposition, it's interesting. I covered Sinn Féin's alternative budget on Friday, and coincidentally, they wanted 18 billion euro to be allocated in the budget. Now, they wanted to raise 2 billion plus in taxes, so different to the government. They were raising 270 million, very small amount. So they were doing it in a different way, but the allocation is actually the same. So yes, I think the opposition has had difficulty in poking holes in the budget. Roisin Shortall made some points all right about, she was concerned about the fact that Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath indicated that next year we're going to have to start talking about the deficit. And if you're going to have to start talking about the deficit, well, that's not good. That means cutting back to try and make a dent in the enormous amount of debt. So, you know, that is on the horizon. But yes, overall, it has been a pretty smooth budget for the government.
Something you couldn't have predicted. I mean, at the beginning of the government, when it was formed, there was a scenario that we were all taught lightly, and that is that at least a few green TDs were going to become a little concerned about the shape of the budget. Quite the opposite has happened. The Greens got a great deal. They have the cohesion in cabinet. Apparently, despite what's happening all around them, they are a more cohesive unit now. And why wouldn't they be? Because there's the guts of 18 billion euro there, and there's huge projects for ministers to work on over the course of the year. So the biggest challenge that many of them actually face now is how to spend that money and to make sure that it is spent over the year, which as a political challenge is an ideal one. Yeah. And also from the Fianna Fáil point of view, having been in governments in the past where they had to deal with budgets in a time of crisis, they will tell you this is a much, much more politically pleasant task, actually using money rather than austerity to address the problem.
And is it that that the Green part of the government had their bumps in the road early on there in August time when we had a few votes against the government, and they're kind of over that now, and now everybody's on the same page? But what about the other two main parties? What's the general, is there cohesiveness between them when it comes to parliamentary party meetings within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Well, I think there is perhaps at cabinet level a clear sense of collective maybe beginning to emerge, but notwithstanding that, there will be friction as well. But compared to where they were going into the summer break and even in the initial period after the return, given that the scale of this problem has become so huge and they've decided to borrow to get through it politically, well, that glues them together in a certain way that seemed unlikely some time back.
And just on the Greens, I haven't seen the Green Party machine crank up in such an astonishing way as it did on Budget Day. They had an absolute operation in place for all this endless stream of statements. Now, we all get loads of emails on Budget Day. It's kind of hopping, all from every junior minister, TDs who you might think might have been a little unfavourable to certain aspects. It just all came into place. They all put out statements, very happy with what they got, pointing to individual things that came in under their remit. I think politically, the Greens played the budget really well, and they absolutely knew what they wanted. They were able to sell it to their members. They got the green agenda. They got the social justice stuff. It seems, you know, they've learned from the mistakes of the past, and they absolutely seem to have squared it off this time.
It's the best of times and the worst of times for the party. I mean, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's fallen. It may never be this easy.
They've
got
to make hay while the sun shines.
But yet externally so difficult, yeah.
And I suppose then today I noticed that here we are, level 4 restrictions for 3 counties. And, you know, the rest of the country, no household visits allowed. So yet another big step in dealing with living with COVID-19 for Ireland. And it was Minister Simon Harris who was getting a lot of trending on the social media circles this morning. Now, I know he was speaking to our colleague Claire Byrne, but he's not the Minister for Health anymore. Do you think how Stephen Donnelly will be taking that, the fact that it's Simon Harris out there again with the public health message?
Yeah, I suppose officially they can say that all ministers are communicating that message now, and that's what they will say. Simon Harris has a clear view, and you can hear that in the press conference he did today as well, saying perhaps it's not inevitable that everyone will move to level four, but he thinks it's quite possible. Mm. That's a certain view in government. There are others who believe that level three could still work. About a week's time, I suppose a decision would be made in relation to that.
So who knows what we'll be talking about this time next week. But join us again, please do. But for now, from the Your Politics podcast, from myself, Maggie Doyle, Micheál Lehan and Sandra Hurley of our political staff, thank you very much for joining us on Sound today. Dimitri Sinusa, thanks very much for listening.